Kia ora, Kofu Smith ahau. Nga mai ki te whare, welcome to the House. Of all of the potential law currently being considered by Parliament, the bill that has received the most public attention and feedback is the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill. That's the bill that would ban most of what some people call conversion therapy, or attempts to alter a person's sexual orientation. The bill has had a successful first reading in the House and is now being considered by the Justice Committee, who asked for public feedback and got a lot of it. A couple of weeks ago, I sat down with the two people who are running that committee submission process to find out how it works and where they're up to.
Kia ora, I'm Ginny Anderson and I'm the chair of the Justice Committee.
My name's Dylan Hanna, I'm the clerk of the Justice Committee.
What does that mean, clerk of the Justice Committee?
The clerk is kind of the senior advisor to the committee, so advises the committee on procedure, parliamentary procedure, and helps the committee manage its workflow, any bills that come to the committee, the time frame that the committee is going to report back to the House.
So when I turn up to a select committee, there's the sort of the horseshoe of MPs, and then there's another table off to the side where there's a bunch of people tapping away furiously at computers and stuff. That's you, right?
That's me and my team, yeah.
How many of you are there in a committee?
On the secretariat, there's usually three. So there's three roles at least. There's the clerk of the committee, so it's me. There's the deputy clerk, who's generally the report writer for the committee. Any of the reports that come back to the committee are drafted by the deputy clerk before the committee agrees them. And then the parliamentary officer of administration, who tends to do the things like processing submissions and booking submitters.
Yeah, which is a huge administrative task. So, Ginny, you're the chair of the committee. You're the person with your MPs that gets all the credit for the work, but a lot of it's actually done by these guys, right?
Well, the MPs work pretty hard as well, and hopefully I don't take all the credit for it, because to date, this Justice Committee has been working really well together. But yes, particularly with bills like this, the clerk and the committee staff do a huge job.
So what normally happens on a bill then? It gets a first reading in the House, and then the House sends it to a committee. Now, you're the Justice Committee. You're one of 12 subject committees. What makes a bill go to Justice?
Oh, well, it's the minister who determines which committee it's sent to, or the member in charge of the bill if it's a member's bill. So we tend to get bills that have an impact on the justice system.
So things that are about crimes or corrections,
that's right,
those
that's
sorts
right.
of things.
Yeah, that's right. Or police even.
Okay. And then the bill arrives on your desk. Well, on your desk, I suppose, Dylan, or on both of your desks. And then you send out an invite to the public. Or do you meet first to talk about it?
We did meet in this instance. We don't have to. We can call for submissions, but we did meet to determine the time frame for submitters. So we set that at the beginning.
And then, Dylan, up till very recently, when you asked for submissions, you suddenly got a lot of paper in the mailbox. That's not the case anymore, right?
I think generally it's still the case that you do get quite a few paper submissions. In this case, with this bill, it's really not been the case. So I think of the 107,000 submissions, 35 of them came by mail.
35 out of 107,000?
35 submissions, yeah.
That's not very generous to the Post Department, is it really? 107,000 is a big number. Can you put that in context of normal level of submissions?
Every bill receives a really different number of submissions. The end-of-life choice bill received around 37,000 submissions.
And that was a record at the time, right?
It's believed to be a record, yeah.
And that was quite a lot more than most bills. I mean, there's another bill at the moment being considered by Governance and Administration, which had nearly 1,000 submissions, and that would actually normally be considered pretty hefty, right?
That's right, yeah. But this bill in particular has tripled the record, so it's broken all New Zealand history records for the number of submissions.
Is that a good thing, or does that just cause you a lot of work?
I think it's a good thing because it shows that the New Zealand public are engaged with an issue, and I think that's got to be good for democracy.
You do say the New Zealand public. You will have got lots of these submissions from elsewhere too, right, internationally, although it would be difficult for you to tell exactly. Is that right?
People, when they make their submission, do indicate where they've come from generally, so that information is available. We've been looking anyway at the ones who have asked to be heard by the committee, and I think about 5% of those came from overseas.
Because this is the thing, when you send in a submission, you can choose to just write a submission, or you can tick a box that says, actually, I'd like to talk to you as well. Does everyone that ticks that box get to talk to the committee?
That's really for the committee to decide. So we had that discussion at committee today because we have over 3,000 individuals who want to orally submit. So we need to make some decisions around how we deal with that.
Okay, 3,000 people at about 5 or 10 minutes each or longer for an organisation potentially would take, my maths is not good, but a very long time.
Past Christmas anyway.
Yeah, okay. When you look at the submissions, when they come in, normally, just, you know, without it being sort of an overwhelming number like this, how do you divide them up? What do you do to them? Do you look at them and go, here's a pile of pros, here's a pile of cons, or what happens?
We're not looking to divide them. We are examining them for, say, natural justice issues that the committee might need to consider, potentially offensive submissions or privacy issues, that kind of thing. So when it goes to advisors on the bill, they're the ones who really analyse the content of the submissions and the, you know, group them into subject and the recommendations and whether they're for or against the bill.
Okay, so but when the people come to actually talk to the committee, do they tend to come in sort of slightly clumps so that they're talking about similar sorts of things or not?
It depends how we want to do it. One way we might do it for this bill is do it geographically based. So if we have a whole lot of submissions that are, say, from Christchurch, depending on COVID levels, the committee might choose to go to Christchurch to hear of those submissions. But if we can't, in the instances of Auckland, travel there, we would try to hear Auckland submissions together so that we can cover one area. And that's helpful too for other members of Parliament who would like to sub onto the committee. If they're from that area, they sometimes like to join those subcommittees that we will form.
This is the traditional way a committee always used to work too, isn't it? That you would hear a bunch of people in Wellington say, and then if there was a particularly local issue or there were a lot of submitters from an area, then you would go and spend a weekend or a week somewhere and, you know, hear submissions, particularly from that place. But these days it's a little bit easier remotely, eh?
That's right. And given the fact that we're still sitting in level two, it's probably not a great idea to be travelling around the country. But if our alert levels changed and the committee would consider going to other areas in order for being there in person to hear submitters.
This current bill, with its astronomical number of people that both sent you paper or e-paper, I suppose, and also that want to talk to you in person, as you say, as a single committee, would take you forever. So you break into pieces?
Yeah, we try and look at it, and Dylan's been great. We've kind of worked together to look at how we could potentially break it up into more manageable pieces while still trying to make sure that we're being as open and available for people to come and provide information to Parliament. So we had a really good discussion at Justice Committee this morning, and we've pretty much landed on a way to try and whittle that down to a manageable amount.
Cool. What will you do?
So Dylan can speak more, but basically we had a lot of form submissions that didn't really provide any additional information. They've just gone to a portal online.
Tick the box and send the submission thing.
So for those that haven't written anything, then we've not heard those. The next level is that somebody might provide just one line about themselves, providing their name and potentially their location where they live. So we've decided not to hear those either.
Because they haven't actually given you any original ideas?
Okay. They haven't given us any information. And so the third sort of area is someone might just do one or two lines, you know, like I support the bill, or I'm against this bill, or ban conversion therapy. So there might be a couple of lines in there. And so we've decided the committee to not hear from those. And that will also apply to written submissions that are not form submissions. If they're only providing a minimal amount of information about why they support or don't support the bill, the committee has determined not to hear in person from those submissions.
Some people might hear that and think, you're not counting my vote. And I say that because when other bills have come up that were conscience issues, that were sort of issues that people thought really strongly morally about, there have been MPs in the House who have said, of all of the submissions on this bill, whatever percentage were against it or were for it, and that shows that it should or shouldn't go through. But that's not really the point of a submission, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, it's interesting, the stats you see always, to see how many of the public. But that's not always a reflection of what the general public think anyway. I personally believe that providing submissions is not a referendum or a poll or a vote. It's a way for MPs to fully understand the depth of the issues, the contentious issues, and to try and really get into the nitty-gritty of what the bill's trying to do and how that might play out in future. So I would say it's more about good quality submissions that further sort of nourish our understanding of it, as opposed to just having a whole lot of people, one after the other, registering their view.
Yeah. So if I came along to a committee and all I said was, I think this is a terrible idea, but I didn't offer you any ideas about how you could improve it, I would have basically wasted your time, right?
Well, I think it's still important for you to come. I think there's a value in democracy and people being able to have their say. I think all committee members were in agreement about that. But it's difficult to do that for 3,000 people. So we've had to draw a line in terms of what the benefit the committee can receive from hearing more information from the public. The submissions we've had to date from organisations, those more fulsome submissions where you can really understand, enhance the committee's understanding.
When you go through this process, Dylan's team helps you write up a report that the committee signs off and sends back to the House. And that report never says, at least I've never read one that says, we heard a whole lot of submissions and people don't seem to like this bill, so let's not do it. Those reports mostly say, you know, the committee does or doesn't like this bill, but the things that the public have told us or experts have told us about how this bill is currently written that will cause problems are the following, and here's how we think that that might be able to be solved. I've said that very poorly, but you get the idea.
No, you've nailed it exactly right. So we're interested in improving the bill. Are there elements of this bill that the committee could improve or change in any way? What are these parts and how would we do it? So they're the sorts of things that we want to hear from.
So you're fixer-uppery people, not running a poll?
The second stage, or the committee stage before it goes back to second reading, is a great way of fixing up something that's not going to work quite right. And testing that with the general public is a good way, and actually a really beautiful part of New Zealand's democratic system.
Yeah, we're small enough that you actually, you know, you can reasonably ask for submissions and not be overwhelmed every single time, so you do it. I go to committees sometimes and I actually see members of the public turn up and they say, hey, look, you know, this bit of the bill here, which says this, this is how it's going to actually work when it hits me in real life. And you can see the MPs go, oh, yeah, actually, we haven't thought of that. That's the sort of stuff you particularly like, right?
That's really interesting. And so alongside of that, if someone gives us some new information that we hadn't previously considered, we then use officials. So in this instance, officials from the Ministry of Justice. Once we're in closed session, we can say, oh, submitter X came along today and put this to us. Can you please tell us a bit more information about that scenario? Would that actually play out under the current law? So we find out a little bit more about what's been proposed, and that all filters through as we're going through that process.
Okay. Now, Dylan, with this current bill, with this astronomical task you have ahead of you, what happens next and what's the rest of the process?
So when the committee's heard all the submissions that it's going to hear from, it'll receive what they call the departmental report. So advisors put together a summary of all the themes and submissions, responding to the department, the government's point of view on the recommendations that submitters have made. And the committee will receive that report and look at the recommendations that advisers have made and decide whether or not to agree with them and actually how it wants to amend the bill. So the committee has two jobs at that point. It's looking at whether the bill should pass and which amendments should be made to the bill.
So when you've got all those ideas, then you bring in PCO, the drafting people, and they basically rewrite the bill for you, right?
They make any amendments that the committee's requested to the bill. So they'll track those in so that anyone who reads a copy of it once the committee reports back can see exactly where they've made those recommended changes.
And then that goes back to the House, who, second reading, either sign it off or don't.
That's right.
Those voices were Jenny Anderson, Chair of Parliament's Justice Committee, and its Clerk of Committee, Dylan Hannah. They were talking about the submissions process for the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill. You've been listening to The House. E te whakaranga koe ki te whare. This program is produced with funding from Parliament. Mā te wā.